Blog Talk Radio.
Be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord this evening. But we're going to do this a little bit different tonight because I want to bring the message first. Amen? Praise God. You can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to say a prayer. And afterwards, I'm going to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Selection, and after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God.
You thought I was worth it. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving.
You came
and changed my life. You thought I was worth saving.
My scripture reading for this message this evening is coming from Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, this chapter deals with the coming day of judgment. Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you look for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, or like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross by the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Then once more, the Lord will accept the offering brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as he did in the past. At that time, I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's army. A call to repentance, verse 6. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have scorned my decrees and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. But you ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son, who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and for all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Three things may be noticed about the last of the Old Testament prophets. My text for this message is coming from Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." And my title for this message is Malachi, Religious Recession and Revival. Amen. Praise be to God. Three things may be noted about the last of the Old Testament prophets. Malachi's style was unique among the prophets. He did not thunder, "Thus says the Lord." He has been called the Hebrew Socrates, because he employed that Greek philosopher's method with telling effect, presented an accusation against the people. Then we read, "But you say," as the prophet proposed an objection on the part of his hearers. This objection was next refuted in some detail, and in so doing, the truth of his original charge was driven home. Seven distinct examples of this method appeared in this 55-verse book. Malachi's prophecy is remarkable in its originality. No expression of unrealistically monotheism is as clear and far-reaching as that found in Malachi 1 and 11. Amen? So while God's name is despised by his people, it is magnified among the heathens. Malachi was also unique in his attitude toward divorce. He presented the Old Testament doctrine of marriage in its highest form. In his admonition regarding the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man in Malachi 2 and 10. Malachi rose to sublime heights. Malachi lived in perilous days, though the temple of the restoration had been completed in 516 BC. Judah seemed doomed to obscurity, little touched by the ties of history. Their dreams of renewed splendor gone. Their zeal for the God of their fathers played out. Ezra visited Jerusalem in 458 BC and found conditions there appalling. He made little headway until the coming of Nehemiah by the authority Persian king to rebuild the walls and carry through the reforms, the reformed Ezra had begun, sparked by Ezra's public reading of the law. A genuine revival resulted. Amen? And during Nehemiah's 12-year absence in Persia, however, the abuse he had so vigorously suppressed sprang up again. It was at about this time that Malachi began his work. Accordingly, our next apartheid states the theme of this prophecy. In Malachi 3 and 7 says, "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts." This is a plea for revival. Note three things. And these are the three things. The nation's need of revival. Five evidence may be singled out. The spirit of ingratitude in Malachi 1:1-6. So let's turn to Malachi 1:1-6. Amen. The sinful priests. This is the message that the Lord gave to Israel through the prophet Malachi. The Lord's love for Israel. "I have always loved you," says the Lord, "but you retorted, 'Really, how have you loved us?' And the Lord replies, 'This is how I showed my love for you. I loved your ancestor, Jacob, but I rejected his brother Esau and devastated his hill country. I turned Esau's inheritance into a desert of for jackals. Esau's descendants in Edom may say, 'We have been shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins.' But the Lord of heaven's armies replied, 'They may try to rebuild, but I will demolish them again. Their country will be known as the land of wickedness, and their people will be called the people with whom the Lord is forever angry. When you see the destruction for yourselves, you will say, 'Truly, the Lord's greatness reaches far beyond Israel's borders.'" and verse 6, unworthy sacrifices. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priest, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name, but you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? Chosen of God, nurtured with loving care, the people of Judah had neither appreciated their blessings nor thanked the divine giver. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Which we just read in Malachi 1 and 1 through 6 in the ASV. Amen. The spirit of irreverence. This charge was made against both priests and people in Malachi 1, 7 through 14. They had held the table of the Lord. They were irreverent in their offering of polluted bread, as well as beasts that were lame, blind, and sick. How can you give a God who loves you so much that he gave his only son for you, and you give him beasts that were lamed, beasts that was blind, and beasts that was sick? In Malachi 2, 1 through 10, the unworthy priesthood, the priests made their offer contemptible as blind leaders of a blind people. They cause others to stumble with them. The aim of the leaders of the restoration was the creation of a religious community. Consequently, the life of the New Jerusalem was centered around the temple and its service, as the life in the old city had never been. High character rooted in a vital faith in God, devotion of the truth, patience and loving teaching of the God-given way of life that is life indeed. These are still as they were in the days of Malachi, the mark of a good minister. In Malachi 2, 10 through 16 tells us the unfaithfulness of the people. Judah has profaned the holiness of Jehovah, which he loved, and hath married the daughter foreign God. In Malachi 2, 11 in the ASV Bible. Amen. Now this figure is different in form from that of Hosea, but the meaning is almost the same. The people as a whole and many as individual were untrue to God, not content with their sins of sorcery, perjury, and oppression. They entered into mixed marriages, this adultery, and encouraged divorce. This was unfaithfulness with a vengeance. In Malachi 2:17-13, talks about the spirit of envy. Amen. This was a new note in the experience of the Hebrews. Previous generation had turned away from God because they had dallied with some foreign deity. But here, while professing still to serve Jehovah, they complained bitterly against his apparent favoritism to the wicked. For a people as a whole to be moved by envy of evildoers and to flaunt their dissatisfaction with God before the world was an alarming thing. Amen. Praise God. The tokens of revival. With Malachi, the tokens, the harbingers of revival were not wholly spiritual. They must be with us. The spirit of liberty. This is the exact opposite of the sin of ingratitude, to bring into the storehouse the whole tithe in Malachi 3:10. And only their best in sacrifices was necessary for revival among the people of Judah. So it is for us. Revival can never come to the church of Christ until the whole church brings the whole tithe into the church treasury, which corresponds to the prophet's storehouse. In Malachi 3:16 says, the spirit of reverence, the words, then they that fear Jehovah indicate that there was a remnant in Judah who held Jehovah in reverence. Such fear is the dominant note of every saintly life. The psalmist said in Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. If this be lavished fear, may the tribe of slaves increase. The attitude of meditation in Malachi 3:16, for them that though upon thought upon his name in our evangelistic efforts, are we content with the absence of thought? Are we ministers too busy to prepare thoughtful messages based on diligent study of the Bible? As one ancient saint said in Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. In former days, the mighty power began the mass meeting held by Moody, and Sunday was due largely to Bible study and prayer. Praise be to God. The willingness to serve. In Malachi 3:17 says, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. This fourth harbinger of revival goes with the third. Meditation and service are inseparable. They must blend. Meditation without service would soon degenerate into religious daydreaming. Service without meditation would soon smack of materialism. When revival truly comes, God's people are no longer content with thinking, talking, and singing about spiritual things. They begin to serve. Praise be to God. The habit of cordiality. In Malachi 3:16, they spoke often to one another. This harbinger of revival should stand last, for unless the other grace preceded, cordiality means little to the kingdom if all these graces, liberty, reverence, meditation, and service abound. Cordiality and friendliness will also abound. With these graces abounding, God's favor crowns the work of revival. Praise be to God. The blessings that will come with revival. These also are purely spiritual. The prayers of God's people will be heard. In a sense, our Heavenly Father hears all our prayers, but does not give us all we ask for. When we really learn to pray, all our prayers are heard, and all our prayers are answered according to God's will for us. Amen. Praise be to God. God's people will be remembered. The prophet put it in quaint but beautiful fashion, a book of remembrance was written before him, before them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Malachi 3:16. When revival comes, new names will be written in God's book, and other names written long since but blotted by sin will be made as bright as new. Amen. Praise be to God. God's possession of his people will be confirmed. In Malachi 3:17 says, they shall be mine, saith the Lord. They belong to him, and he will keep them safe. God, as a father, will spare his children. Malachi 3:17, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God spares his children, not from burdens and trials, but from burdens too heavy and from temptation too strong. He treats them not as pets to be pampered, but as children being trained for eternity. Praise God. You see, the first words of this chapter seem an answer to the scoffers of those days. Here is a prophecy of the appearing of John the Baptist. He is Christ's harbinger, meaning he is his messenger preaching his coming. He shall prepare the way before him by calling men to repentance. The Messiah had been long called, he that should come, and now shortly he will come. He is the messenger of the covenant. Those who seek Jesus shall find pleasure in him. Often when not looked for, the Lord Jesus prepares the sinner's heart to be his temple by the ministry of his word and the conviction of his spirit. And he enters it as the messenger of peace and consolation. No hypocrite or formalist can endure his doctrine or stand before his tribune. Christ came to distinguish men, to separate between the precious and the vile. He shall sit as a refiner. Christ, by his gospel, shall purify and reform his church, and by his spirit working with it, shall regenerate and cleanse souls. He will take away the dross found in them. He will separate their corruption, which render their faculties worthless and useless. The believers needs not fear the fiery trials of affliction and temptation by which the Savior refines his gold. He will take care. It is not more intense or longer than is needful for his good. And this trial will end far otherwise than that of the wicked. Christ will, by interceding for them, make them accepted where no fear of God is. No good is to be expected. Evil pursues sinners. God is unchangeable. And though the sentence against evil works be not executed speedily, yet it will be executed. The Lord is as much an enemy to sin as ever. We may all apply this to ourselves because we have to do with a God that change not. Therefore, it is that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. Amen. And my conclusion is this. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Amen. That's Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6. And it says, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." So you see, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets who ever lived. And you'll find his story in 1 Kings 17 through 2 Kings 2. With Malachi's death, the voice of God's prophet would be silent for 400 years. Then a prophet would come, like Elijah, to herd the Messiah's coming. You'll find that in Matthew 17:10-13, Luke 1:17. This prophet was John the Baptist. John prepared people's heart for Jesus by urging people to repent of their sins. Christ's coming would bring not only unity and peace, but also judgment on those who refuse to turn from their sins. So Malachi gives us practical guidelines about commitment to God. God deserves the best we have to offer. We must be willing to change our wrong ways of living. We should make our family a lifelong priority. We should be sensitive to God's refining process in our life. We should tie our income. There is no room for pride. Malachi closes his message by pointing to that great final day of judgment. For those who are committed to God, Judgment Day will be a day of joy because it will usher in eternity in God's presence. Those who have ignored God will be straw to be burned up. To help the people prepare for that day of judgment, God would send a prophet like Elijah, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. The New Testament begins with this prophet calling the people to turn from their sins to God. Such a commitment to God demands great sacrifice on our part. We can be sure it will be worth it all in the end. Amen. So appears to have been written as the conclusion, not merely to the book of Malachi, but to the whole collection of the 12 minor prophets. In any case, it presents the grim alternatives to revival and the glorious promise of the coming of the forerunner of the Messiah. Amen. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was unto me. The religious recession and revival. To God be the glory. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. Praise be to God. And my benediction for this message. And my benediction is coming from Jude chapter 24 and 25. And it's where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I pray that you have enjoyed our message, my message this evening. And at this time, as we're getting ready to go into the second part of our service for this evening, I will play another selection.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship him. Lift your hands and bless him in this place. Your simple song.
gonna say it, church. Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs.
Y'all got it now, come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord, yeah, yeah.
All of the glory belongs.
Everybody lift your hands right here and say, yeah.
Just dancing, give it praise.
Cause I remember you.
My life is so brand new. You're my favorite song, Jesus. I sing the praises of you. I know there'll be problems coming just to tear me, but with you I have the victory, victory.
Amen. Praise be to God. Dear God, we want to thank you for your mercy and for your abundance of promises fulfilled. We ask for you to take our hand and lead us in the ways you best see fit and fill our hearts with kindness you bestowed upon us. As you are impartial, please help us to treat all as equal, whether faced with fortune or adversity. Please allow all that we do while on this earth bring nothing but praise and glory to your name. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I am doing our Sweet Hour of Prayer. I kind of turned things around a little bit this evening because I wanted to get that powerful message out this evening. Amen? So I did the message early in the first hour of our program. But you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know.
What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like? He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Fellow man, would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. What will Jesus do? Listen. Cause you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like? He looks like you.
He is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship.
Yeah.
Lord, when I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, you changed me forever and made me whole. Let me share your Son's message with my friends, with my family, and with the world. You are a God of love, redemption, conversion, and salvation. I will praise you today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. For the Bible say, pray ye one for another. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
With all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our soul, will always serve you.
There is so great a love in all the universe, who made the heavens and the earth.
Call to ministry, hand in hand, in unity, the presence of the anointing, in holiness, in sanctity.
With all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our
chapter 23, verse 4 in the CSV says, even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. And the title, Beyond Fear. A terrible storm rose quickly on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were afraid. Although they had witnessed many miracles, the disciples feared for their lives. So they turned to Jesus, and he calmed the waters and the wind. Sometimes we, like Jesus' disciples, feel threatened by the storms of life. When we are fearful, we too should turn to him for comfort and for courage. Amen. The next time you find yourself facing a fear-provoking situation, remember that the one who calmed the wind and the waves is always also your personal Savior. Then ask yourself, which is stronger, your faith or your fear? The answer should be obvious. When the storm clouds form overhead and you find yourself being tossed on the stormy seas of life, remember this: wherever you are, God is there. God is there too. And because he cares for you, you are protected. Amen? Praise be to God. Now, if a person fears God, he or she has no reason to fear anything else. On the other hand, if a person does not fear God, then fear becomes a way of life. Worry is a cycle of inefficiency thoughts whirling around a center of fear. God shields us from most of the things we fear. But when he chooses not to shield us, he unfailingly allots grace in the measure needed. When once we are assured that God is good, then there can be nothing left to fear. Fear and doubt are conquered by a faith that rejoices, and faith can rejoice because the promise of God are as certain as God himself. Think about this. If you're feeling fearful or anxious, you must trust God. You must trust God to solve the problems that are simply too big for you to solve. Amen? In Isaiah 41 and 10, and the CSB Bible says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." And Joshua 1 and 9 in the CSB says, "Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Praise be to God. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20 in the CSB says, "Be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He won't leave you or forsake you." In Psalms 27 and 1, in the King James Version says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Dear Lord, when I am fearful, keep me mindful that you are my protector and my salvation. Thank you, Father, for a perfect love that casts out fears. Because of you, I can live courageously and faithfully this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection, and you are listening to Pray One for Another.
Yeah.
I know that he is mine. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord God. Dear Lord, today I will abide in Jesus. I will look to him as my Savior, and I will follow him in his footsteps. I will strive to please him, and I will separate myself from evil of this world. Thank you, Lord, for your son. Today, I will count him as my dearest friend, and I will share his transforming message with a world in desperate need of his peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God, and we are going to leave out on the blessing of Abraham. Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there?
Out there. It's yours. Yeah. It's yours.
Oh.
It's yours.
and say, I'm going to get mine.
And I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get your inheritance.
My heart breaks, and my back's against the wall, and there's no one here. Even then you can't deliver me, 'cause Lord, I have no other hope but you.
Tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.